It was late 60s. No, they put me in jail in Chicago. They put me in jail in Washington, D.C. But I was working in Jersey, and I was living in New York City.
And this putting you in jail. What did they tell me about them putting you in jail? What have you done?
I was for peace, and the officers of peace were for war. And so, well, you know, like they had the force, and they threw me in a fountain there and next to the Picasso in Chicago. And then they maced me when they finally dragged me out of the pool, and then they put me in jail. But jail for a sculptor, you know, like I looked at it, it was stupid, because, you know, like it's nothing but iron bars, you know, like, and if I had my torch, 15 minutes I'm out of there, you know, like, but they don't give you the torch. That was one of the things. And then in Washington, it was when the protest was in front of the White House, and all of the soldiers, the veterans who were against the war in Vietnam, took their Purple Hearts and threw them over the fence. But they had all the marshals and stuff like that. Now, they jailed me in Occoquan with Norman Mailer and Danny Lyon and a bunch of other people, a lot of people. And when I ended up in that kangaroo court, they said, you know, like, the fine is $25. And I said, well, I want to know what I'm accused of. And the guy had to look it up on the paper, and he said, crossing the line. You know, like, that sounds like a kid's game. But I think that was a very horrible, terrible war. Of course, all wars are. It's mass murder. And there was this kind of dedication that I had seen by living in China. I knew what poverty was. And those people, they just wanted the colonialists out of there. And we were fighting a post-colonial war in Vietnam. And it was, you know, like when I think of those napalm children and the righteousness of those monsters in Washington, D.C. that urged it on, you know, the people that saw light at the end of the tunnel and things like that, I don't think that they've been sufficiently chastised and seen what they have undone of the American ideal of freedom. But that's...
You grew up in the Italian Navy.
He was in Italian Navy in World War I, right.
What was your father's view of this Vietnamese war?
Well, my father was very, very old at that time. He must have been in his late 80s. At that moment, we were only writing to one another, and he was not for the war. We had already built the Peace Tower in 64 or 65, and been attacked by people. His feeling wasn't that militarist about it. He had seen what colonialism had done in China, but he was very strongly anti-fascist. He saw how fascism, the use of criminal power in order to take control of a government and to bypass any legal kind of structure. He understood and was very much against that. But my mother was completely, you know, she was like completely convinced by the Jeffersonian democratic ideals and really believed in all those things. But I went to vote at Fulton and Pearl, and I came out and I saw one of the towers burning. And it's about 300 meters away, you know, like a quarter of a mile away. I was watching. I thought a civilian plane had hit it. And after watching it, after a few minutes, maybe 5-10 minutes, suddenly the second plane hit, and this ball of fire, or this suicide bomber, rolled towards us. Fortunately, there were buildings between me and everybody. Then it became panic. But this idea of destroying democracy with a theocracy, with whatever religious belief one has, is something that I think all future high-tech democracies are going to have to face. There is a symbolic need in people to take this feeling of ecstasy and love of the world that becomes translated through religious symbols of many different kinds. Now that we know that there are many different religions, there, this religious impulse somehow gets taken, twisted, turned, and becomes, in some cases, against life. And it becomes against life and the very things that architects and artists really like work for. There's a statement in there's a statement in a book called Architects Speak About Architecture, and in it Yamasaki talks about the need for architects in architecture to work for the sense of joy, of the sense of unity, the sense of living together. And it is a wonderful, I'll send it to you, it's a wonderful statement, and you realize that these people wanted to destroy it. They were for death, and they wanted to inflict death, and death was their ultimate aim. And as we know, it has changed our whole perception of the world. When you say that it's all involved before, you were talking about how this colonialism, the effort of rich countries to impose and exploit countries that are impoverished, I think that this is the really basic root and why there was that kind of a violent attack on the Twin Towers. It took me a long time to try to understand what had happened, and I think that people will puzzle about it for a long time. It's not that it's one religion against another religion, although we've seen incredible murder that has happened through the world in our history because of it. The only way that we can, as human beings, can come to a level of peace, which is the place where mothers give birth to children, that give birth to new generations, is in peace, not in war. And I think that there is this necessity to understand that bombs and hatred only breed more hatred. There are other ways to solve the problem than to go in and shoot and kill people. That is not the solution that is that brings life. Now, at the end, now that the Vietnam War is all over with, that the colonialist powers were chased out of the country, now we see that what they told us then was a lie. They were saying, well, it's the domino theory. One country will fall after another, and it's obvious that in Vietnam, the Vietnamese were able to get rid of the so-called dangerous communist government by themselves. They didn't need the United States. So those people lied to us. That is, the people in Washington, the CIA, that whole thing in the Pentagon that wants to keep the machine of industry and waste, military waste, going. There is a concept in this country that if we waste it in terms of military, it's okay. But if we put it into education, well, that's a waste. If we took all of the money away from the CIA and put it into education, we would end up with a country that was intelligent, with a country that would move together instead of this shocking thing where we have schools that have classrooms where the teachers can't teach but have to be some kind of babysitters and guards there. That's not the way one ends up with an intelligent country.
You went to Washington and they blooded you. You had blood on you, which you proudly wore around for a few weeks. You wouldn't wash it off. Is that correct?
No, I didn't. I don't wear blood proudly. I think that it was terrible. They just beat me up, that's all. You know, like cops tend to beat up people if they feel threatened. And the Pentagon felt threatened because we were, as Allen Ginsberg said, we were going to chant a mantra that was going to levitate it. Well, they were terrified of it being levitated. And it's obvious that our so-called intelligence agency couldn't figure out that there was somebody trying to crash into the Pentagon. It's just, it's all very sad and very delusional. And I think that that's, you see, I don't think we live in a democracy any longer. We live in a mediaocracy. And the media is what makes people, it causes the information that people use to make their decisions on. What does the normal American know about Afghanistan other than what they've read about in the media or seen on TV? They know very, very little. How many Afghanistanis do they know? You know, it has become almost a racist war. It is dangerous for people of Middle Eastern origins now, because there were these crazy people that were financed that had figured that this high-tech society can be used to turn itself around. Suppose it wasn't this president, but another president that had convinced everybody that the opposing party had terrorists in it and we had to jail them and, you know, like quickly get rid of them. You know, like through the media, it can be done. There's this capacity that the media has to demonize people. And it did it in, on this continent. Nobody talks about it anymore, but if a foreign country had come and bombed Washington and attacked it and captured the president and brought it to their country and then tried him there, we would all be horrified. Yet we did just that in Panama. Where is Noriega now? Nobody knows. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about what happened. And yet, obviously, there are links between the CIA and Noriega that never got published. There are links between Osama bin Laden and the CIA, but nobody asks questions of it. This mediocracy has this capacity of misinformation, and that's what is really like terrifying.